Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Daphne.
And I'm Pink.
And this is Star Wars TV Cast episode 63.
What's up, Neil Nation? We're coming back at you again with another episode of Skeleton Crew. We that Skelly Crelly. You know what it is. Make sure to smash that like button. Subscribe to our show. Also, Venmo us like $500 because I did all my Christmas shopping today and your boy is broke now. No, for real though, Neil Army Rejoice. We had a Neil-tastic episode and I cannot wait to talk about it. It's going to be a good time.
I'm not responsible for what just happened.
No, okay, back to regular crew. Yes, this week we are covering Skeleton Crew Season 1, Episode 4, titled Can't Say I Remember No At Atten.
You know, with these titles, I'm always interested in who said what in the episode to make the title happen. And so this was fun. It was a through line that just kept being said and repeated by 33 over and over again. So it was a lot of fun. You know, what are your general thoughts on this episode?
I'm angry because it ended. I mentioned this last week. You know, I was really excited for this episode, knowing that the Daniels were directing. But in my head, I'm like immediately picturing the like flash and color and wackiness of Everything Everywhere All at Once, right? And instead, they went the full opposite way with it. And it was very gray and colorless and grittier and a little bit more suspenseful and somber in different parts of the episode. And honestly, I loved that because it's not what I was expecting, but it was still really great. And yes, I was immediately upset when it was over because I need more. Now, immediately, why would they do that to me? It's not fair. What? How dare they?
I think we addressed this last week, but when you cover TV series on Strange Indeed, usually you get to go watch the next episode right away.
I do. Yeah, on Strange Indeed, because we cover a lot of Netflix shows, so it's like, I'd still be in the same boat right now of being like, how dare they make they end that episode right there, because I need to know what happens next. But then I'd come on here and talk about it. And then when we'd finish recording, I'd be like, all right, now I'm going to go hit Netflix and go watch the next episode immediately. I can't do that here. I have to wait till freaking Christmas Eve, which I'm working all day and night Christmas Eve. So, like, I don't even know if I'm having an opportunity to watch it. I'm going to make Riley watch it with me. He's going to have to deal with it.
I think you're going to have to find a way to make that happen. For sure. I really liked this episode a lot. For me, I was kind of expecting what you were talking about with the vivid colors and it being bright and beautiful and interesting that way. What we got instead of the visual, like bright visual, what we got was this tense, emotional, like heart-driven dialogue at times and situations that were more intense than what we saw before.
It was an interesting balance because, like, yes, it was grittier, it was darker. They were dealing with themes of, like, civil war and child soldiers. And then, like, the emotional and vulnerable moments. And then some of these mysteries that, like, have a dark twist to them. And we'll talk about all that. But it also was, like, which I've seen some people online last night and today say these things as a criticism. I don't necessarily would critique it. But it did also, while doing all of that, feel more child-aimed. Like, they did all of that, but it was all in a way that was very kind of silly and whimsical and, like, with kid gloves, where it was, like, nothing, like, crazy scary or, like, too intense happened. It was all very, like, through a kid's eyes and kid's lens, the kind of things that they were talking about and doing.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. There's a lot to unpack in this episode as far as everything that went down, but I think this could be my favorite episode so far.
It was really good. I really enjoyed it.
You know, I didn't at first love the dark color, like the gray and the darkness of it. But then what we got to see from the characters, how we got to dive a little deeper into them, especially Fern. I mean, she had some moments in this that I know we talked about possibly happening at some point. Plus, we get Neil the hero as well.
Yeah. Neil Nation.
I really appreciated what we got from this. Because I know that some people may look at it and say, well, there wasn't very much action. It was a lot of talking. But those episodes sometimes are the best ones because they give you more insight into the character.
Yeah, I've never really understood, like, the hate or complaining about filler episodes. Oh, filler episode. It's a filler episode. It's like, filler episodes are incredibly important when you're trying to drive a story forward.
Yes.
Like, can it be a little frustrating when, you're trying to watch week to week and you're like, but I need answers and I need things that make me go, yay, wow. Like, yeah, I get that. There's that response that us as viewers have. But, like, those things won't matter as much. The payoff won't be there as much if we didn't have the quote-unquote filler to build that story and make it mean something when it happens.
Yeah. It built connections with characters in this episode.
Yes, exactly.
And that's something I know we've talked about. We've mentioned before that we do Kids on Bikes, or rather, Paik is the GM for our Kids on Bikes group. And some weeks, it's much more character-driven. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing a game like Kids on Bikes, and you do have, like, the flipping back and forth, I think it's really helped me appreciate those character-building moments where there's not a lot of drama and action. It's more of this, you know, breaking it down to the basics of the characters and letting them open up themselves to each other.
Yeah, because that's what I enjoy and look it for in TV shows. That's why I podcast about TV shows and things, is because I'm drawn in by the characters and their journeys, their stories, their ideas, the things that drive them and make them, and their connections and relationships with each other. There are people out there, and I'm not going to, like, say this is like, and they're wrong and bad, but, like, where it's like they want to watch TV shows and movies because, like, I want action, I want comedy, I want the bare minimum of just, like, entertain me, base level, and that's it. And some things are fine like that, but when I'm watching something like this, especially in enjoying it to this level where I want a podcast and talk about it, I want to feel connected to those characters. I want to know what they feel, what they're thinking, why they feel that way and think that way because of what they've been through, what their connections with each other are. So these episodes where there's a lot of talking and emotional stuff and just filler are important to me because it's almost like getting to know a person or a friend better. You're endearing yourself to these characters and getting to know them as a character better.
Yeah. And I think that the opportunities in this episode to move the story forward, especially with the connections that the characters have built already and now have furthered along, they're going to pay off later, I think, in the season as they continue to try to go home.
Yeah. Have patience with shows. Payoffs are better when there's something that you're paying off.
Yes. Just have a little patience. And this is coming from someone who normally has none. So.
Have faith in the Force. Trust in the Force. It flows through all of us and it will guide us to this show.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, I think we're ready to start things off with points, and I think you made me go first last week. So, I'm going to put you in the hot seat and have you go first this week.
All right. Let's see where to start. Let's see. First one, I'll just kind of go in like a weird order that I just put here in my notes. Not a lot, but we can start and you can add on. Whatever, of course, that's how we'll do it. We're going to start talk about this planet that we spend this episode on, at Akron, which SN33 knows plenty about. He knows it well. yeah, because we in the beginning of the episode, they're flying in, coming up on this, you know, the nebula gases all around, and they're seeing through the clouds, through the atmosphere, houses, and it looks like the same layout. And so they're, oh, that's it. We made it. And I was like, man, I didn't think they were going to make it home so soon. And then, oh.
I said the same thing. I thought we were going to spend the whole season with them trying to get home. And I can't believe they're there already. And then it's like, oh, wait.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. They ended up finding another one of these, what we talk about from the third episode, these jewels of the Old Republic planets. And it is not as... it's not as good shape as at Atten is. You know, they're not great, but they land in there and they're already looking around and like, what happened? They're still trying to process this idea of, did we make it home, but something terrible happened? And then it's Neil that actually points out, is like, look at the trees that have grown up in the houses. Like, this has been here like this for a long time. So it's not the right planet. We can tell that. It's similar, but it's not our home. This is different. And I like that they just send, like, they keep Jod back on the ship. Fern, Captain Fern, I love her this episode. I love her so much, just in general, but especially this episode. Putting no adults in the cockpit, just put him in his place.
And SM33 was basically the babysitter.
Yes, his initiating, like, the babysitting sequence, which does he have that for real? Probably not, but I think SM33 would take any chance to, like, torment Jod Nanawood and that he can, so.
Me too. It really struck me how similar things looked with regard to the layout of the house that looks like it's Fern's house that they go in.
Yeah. The houses are so, even, like, throughout the episode they're talking about, because Neil, when he's talking to Haina, and he's like, see that building over there on my planet? That's where my mom works. And they're like, oh, this is the supervisor's tower. Like, oh, there's the school. The layout is very the same. It's almost like cookie cutter between these jewel planets. That whatever entity, force, corporation, whatever it is that was behind all of this, there was a very specific and deliberate creation to these planets where they all are like identical and things are laid out the exact same. And there's a cookie cutter reason for why everything is where it is. Whatever went wrong with this planet where it was destroyed, but it's still here. But yeah, I mean, civilization, whatever it was supposed to be is gone. And it's just erupted to the survivors. It's an apocalyptic wasteland. The people who are left are stuck in a civil war forever. And that's just kind of what it's broken down to. But yeah, the layout is exactly the same. And it's really interesting because then it adds to that mystery of like, so at Aten, of course, the mystery of it, but then all these other planets that are, as KB said, co-created or co-founded with it. What's behind all of that? Like, is a much bigger picture and a bigger thing at work.
Yeah. I thought seeing this planet through the kids' eyes was impactful because they've grown up in a world where everything was just so. They went to school. They did the, you know, everything is regimented almost and somewhat easy. And then you get the flip side where Fern could be Haina. And Haina could be Fern. Like, those two characters, if you look at them, if Fern had grown up in this wasteland,
yeah,
they could switch places, depending on the luck of which planet was allowed to flourish and thrive.
Yeah.
And so watching the kids go through and see all of these things and how bad the school looked and how everything is just destroyed and broken. It was really interesting to see them take all of this in because I think they got really used to their lives, as dull as Wim thinks they are. And he's not excited about going home. Not enough adventure for that kid just yet. I think this was a little detour.
I mean, like, yeah, being thrown in a jail cell and held at gunpoint by a pirate and, you know, not enough adventure and stuff for him. He still needs more excitement in his life.
He definitely does. And I feel like in this episode, maybe he got to see things that, you know, had stuff gone badly on Aten, they could be in the same situation.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. At Akron, and the first time we hear the name is from SM-33 because his babysitting skills aren't so great as Jod's just pouring out the contents of Wim's backpack and stealing his sock money. taking the credits out of his sock that he had put in there and then in his bag. But, you know, SM-33 catches him a little bit and has that whole moment where he's like, being on this planet has done something to him. Where he's like an intruder and he's like reverting back to kind of his older self. And, you know, the first time we hear at Akron is through SM-33 because, well, his babysitting skills not great. You know, Jod's going through Wim's backpack and taking his sock money and all of these things. 33 catches him, but something's going on with his mind. He says, like, being here, because he's the first, he says, like, something about being on at Akron must be messing with my memories or something. And Jod has that stop. He's like, at Akron, so you know where we are. That's what he's like, yes, I know it well. And he's, what about at Aten? He's like trying to like pick at him in this moment. And it almost seems like he's going to make a breakthrough. And then that like programming kicks back in. And, then you get the, I can't say I remember no at Aten. It's just going to continue to... But that's the first time he says it. And then kind of it was cool that as that happens, we get the kids looking through the house and KB also kind of puts together the exact same idea without a name of it. But she's like, oh, this is one of the other planets. She's the one that says it. It's like, this is one of the other planets that we learned about from Kim.
Yes.
We miscalculated.
Yeah. I'm wondering how close they are to Aten. Like, how close were these planets to each other? Because, I mean, we don't have a map to look at to know.
Yeah, because even, like, the map that Kim laid out wasn't really a map or star chart. Like, they were laid out, like, in a grid, but I don't think that's showing their actual location in, you know, regard to each other. Because it was more of just like a, and these are the nine, and here's what they are, but they're hidden for a reason. So, yeah, they're not going to have some map saying, and here's where they are.
I'm wondering if we're going to get to see any more of the planets, or if this is the one that they're showing us because they want us to see the status of all the other planets. Like, that right. They're all destroyed like this, and that Aten is the last one.
Are all the other planets in whatever state they're in, if they are not, like, Alderaaned and just completely gone, do they all have that same similar thing in that tower where they have the coordinates to the other planets and linked? Even on Aten, I mean, they say that's the supervisor's tower. Like, nobody really – does the supervisor have access to coordinates to all these other planets and knows what's going on?
I have a feeling the supervisor would know. And, of course, in this episode, we did not meet that person yet, but I'm still, like, looking forward to that. If we get through this season and we don't meet the supervisor, I might be a little disappointed because I feel like it could be a really cool cameo, and I'm really excited to get to meet that person. But I feel like the supervisor probably has access to this information. It's not something that people on the street can come into and here we are, and here are the coordinates for all of the other planets. I just don't think that's something that's shown on a tour.
Yeah. Only one person has that very, like, specific confidential information.
Exactly. Critical need to know information.
So, yeah, that's where first point to talk about, I guess, there. So, done. Check.
It was that easy.
Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit about the situation that the kids get into, or when they leave the ship and they go and they meet Haina. They're really meeting someone in the middle of this civil war, which is something that these kids have never seen. Like, this is not something that they know about. I'm not sure what they've been taught in school as far as wars and different things. Because I feel like they've been kind of sheltered.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Galactic Civil War, apparently, they have no idea about.
Yeah, no.
So.
Yeah.
They missed all that.
So, Haina tries to keep them safe. And ends up taking them to the school. And we learn a little bit about what's been going on between the two tribes. Because we have the Troik, which is Haina's group, led by her father, General Strix. And then we have the Hattons, I think. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the Hattons have stolen the Eopes.
Uh-huh.
And that is something that's critical to the Troik. And so it seems like a back and forth thing that's been going on.
Yeah, like I said, it's this constant cycle of civil war, where it's just continued on with raid after raid, retaliation after retaliation. And yeah, so to Neil, who's lived in his life of, like, peace, he's just like, why don't you just, like, say sorry and stop? Like, I don't understand. It's never going to end if you just keep attacking each other for attacking each other. Like, what's the point of this in the end of the day?
People are still going to die. And you're still going to keep trading resources. And it's interesting because I don't think that Haina and her group have thought about such things in that way. And Neil brings this sense of kindness to the group, and I think it intrigues Haina. I think she is really taken aback by the way that Neil approaches things, because at one point they're talking about daily rations and he takes his food and gives it to two hungry kids, and I think that's something that surprises her.
Yeah, the way she just, like, looks in confusion, but then this smile creeps on her face, and it's like, she can't help but be moved by his sweetness and kindness. Because it is, like you said, it's not the way of this planet.
Not at all.
And so to see something like that, it's just like what is this? It's like like the Grinch, right? Like her heart grew through three sizes that day. People can be kind to each other. And just seeing his interactions with her and with others, I was like, Neil is just too precious for this galaxy. And we must protect him.
At all costs. All costs. Definitely. yeah. I love that we got this episode about Neil. I love that we got to see more of him in this way. Because even him just telling the story about his little brother stealing his protractor and then jumping on his head. He's having this little adventure with Haina while KB, Wim, and Fern are off learning how to shoot and go to war, basically.
Yeah. Especially Fern and Wim are having way too much fun with being child soldiers.
Yes, they are.
Like, they're already, like, making it a competition among themselves and running around and, like, having fun with it. And then, yeah, we see Neil on the other side just not very keen on it. Like, he's just like, she's like, you're not going to join him? No, not really. Like, that's not, this is not good. Why would we want to do this? And he just gets to hang out with Hannah instead and has his own little time, which I think was very important for him. It's like, for us, the audience, to, again, be more endeared to Neil and really get to see the sweet, kind center of who he is. But then also, I think it did a lot for Hannah and even this planet, even if we never see At Akron again or ever know what happens. I think he's planted those little seeds in her to where maybe one day, as she keeps talking about very just nonchalantly, and when my dad's dead, then I get to take over, that, like, there will be these seeds planted that if that is what happens and she becomes a leader, that things might start changing if she continues to, like, hold on to those things that she learned from him.
Yeah. Always look to the future generations to fix maybe the sins of the past. I think you learn, if you open up your heart and listen to other people, you can learn so much that can take you in a much better direction, but you have to be ready to hear it. And I think he kind of worms his way into her heart by being kind and sweet. And she's not always nice to him. I mean, she does say things like, you must be a very weak clan, when he's talking about them playing slap ball and the different things that are involved in his life. And he's never had to fight for things like Hannah's had to fight for food, protection, all of these things. And I think as much as the impact that it has on Hannah, I think she also has an impact on Neil, because he is not the bravest of our group of four, but I feel like his conversations and spending time with her and understanding more about having to stand up and fight and do things that might be uncomfortable, he takes that to another level a little bit later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that they both learned a lot from each other. And we may not get to see the fruits of everything, but I think the seeds have definitely been sown.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool to kind of see a different society, a different place, and especially with Hannah. Hannah was a really interesting character. So when we first see her, there's got to be somebody on this planet. What was that? And I was like, well, it looked like it was somebody on this planet.
yeah.
I think you were right. Now, and it's funny that, like, they kind of plant this seed again of, like, you think, like, Wim and Hannah are going to have this, like, connection a little bit, because I love Wim's reactions to most everything. that kid, I need to have his name, is Ravi something. Just, he's so, like, the way he can just, like, emote with his face and his body is, like, really great. Like, I just, he's immediately a big fan of her. You know, she just has a cool little swingy kick down a door thing, and he's, like, super impressed. There's a moment where, like, he would, everything she did, the slide down in the bus, or, like, he would, she could do literally anything, and he'd respond with, whoa! It's like, dude, chill.
Well, again, Wim thought he was going home to his boring life, and he's getting another adventure, and so he's going to embrace it with all that he can.
Yeah. It's just like, she's got some cool moves. So she's cool. But then you see Wim with Fern gets too caught up with, like, the warrior idea of everything. And then it kind of switches over to Neil and Hannah. And then you see the softer side of her brought out by Neil a lot. And yeah, so we get with these warriors, they mention the Fallen Sanctum, which is this tower where they see the coordinates. They're talking about it could, you know, hold the answers that they're looking for with the coordinates of the different planets. And that's where this, yeah, General Strix, so sketchy. Like, I did not like this guy. Like, there's not an empathetic part of him, because honestly, it was kind of dark. Like, I was like, this is actually really messed up. Because all he's doing this whole episode is he's found a way to manipulate these kids that showed up, these outworlders, for his own purposes. He's not a good guy. Like, seriously, his whole plan is dangle this idea of, yeah, we'll take you to this fallen sanctum and give you the answers you're looking for. But first you have to prove your bravery and your strength and prove that you're worthy of the journey, when all he's doing is using them as bait, as cannon fodder for leading his men against these Hattons in this retaliation. He's like, yeah, just prove yourself and I'll take you there. But he has no care for their safety. He doesn't expect them to make it out of it. He's like, he's just looking for bodies to throw at them first before his men get in the way. So it's like, you know, Haina's cool. Her dad sucks.
Well, he's pushing them out the door to be leading this scouting mission. And Haina wants to go with them. Because I think she realizes that they're not experienced to be doing this type of thing. And they've only been training for 15 minutes. Like, there's been no time for them to master any weaponry.
Yeah. Which, again, I don't think he had any plans for them actually to. But if he can put it in their heads, oh, that's what we're doing. You're going to be able to handle this. He doesn't care about them or their lives. It's just use them to get what, you know, to my end goal. But his daughter, Haina, is a better person. And so I like that she goes there with them, mainly to help Neil, because she sees how much he's struggling, how afraid he is. And then I just love, again, as they're walking out into this open area in this street, that the whole time Neil is just talking about how, you know, this isn't right. None of this is right. The constant fighting and the war on this planet, it's useless. You need to make peace. Why? You know, he's still going on about this idea, you know, idealization of like peace and, you know, why war? I like that, you know, while they're doing the food rations, why are you in a war? And I was like, well, because this is Star Wars. It's kind of the whole thing. but it's just very, like, you see, like, we talked about that, but like that dichotomy, like that difference of these two worlds. It's like war is all at Akron knows. And it's like, why wouldn't we be at war? While we get Neil from this other side being like, no, why would you?
Right.
There's other things you can do. There's other options. Like, peace exists, guys.
There seems to be a lot at risk in these wars.
Mm-hmm.
And Neil is just trying to get that across, that they don't have to do these things. They don't have to lose more people. They can rebuild their world and make it a better place. But it seems like along the way, they've just forgotten about how to live as a civilized society. But also, we don't know how long the planet has really been like this. Like, did Haina grow up in this world? Has it been going on for that long? We don't really have that information.
No. Probably, I would think. I just, timeline-wise, I would assume. But I don't know, because SM-33 has been on this planet before. Now, this is just me trying to, like, calculate in my head. I'm like, okay, timeline a little bit, which we don't have a lot of answers for, so this is all speculation. It's like, okay, so SM-33 has been here before, and that is before the ship landed and was buried on Ad-Aten. And that has to have been there a very long time. So I would think before Haina, definitely, that, you know, this has been going on long before that, because whenever they land, when him and Jod exit, and he's like, what do you remember about this planet? He was like, oh, yeah, because he sees the warriors before Jod does. And he was like, oh, yeah, I remember warriors. we snuck past them last time. And he's like, what are you talking about warriors? Oh, those guys. So this war, I guess, has been going on since the last time SM-33 was on this planet, which had to have been quite a long time ago.
Yeah, the timing of everything. I wish we had, like, a timeline so I would know more. But... I'm okay with this. I feel like
that's part of the mystery, though.
It is. It is part of the mystery.
Yeah.
And the mystery is one of the cool things about this show. You know, waiting to see what answers were given at what time. I do think we got some answers in this episode. Maybe not as many as what people wanted, but I feel like we got pointed in the right direction. But I also got more questions from it as well. Because we learn more about the other planets and the coordinates to the other planets and what the planets' names are. And now I'm just wondering, are we going to go there, or are they in the same situation? Are they all destructed, you know, destroyed like at Akron, or are they at varying levels of destruction? Like, I'm really curious about that, but we may never know. Mm-hmm. We may just have learned, here are their names, here are the coordinates, you're not going to know anything else. And I'm okay right. with that, too.
Yeah.
But the little, there's a little part of me that just is so curious about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think where I'll move in next ties into what we were talking about. I feel like we talked about him a little bit, so we're just continue on hashtag Neil Nation. Just keep talking about, because we talked about him a little bit, so I think just to kind of finish up some other notes and thoughts I had on him, kind of a continuation of, because there was the, you know, with him and Haina, we talked about, but then what happens after that and stuff, which we talked about, you know, building up the kindness that he really holds with her. And so after the ordeal with the battle, which is really just Jod and SM33 coming through and yeah, we took care of it with money. Money solves everything.
I thought that was kind of a clever way to actually finish yeah. something and give Jod an opportunity to redeem himself for some of his past transgressions.
Yeah. Right. I mean, he did steal Wim's credits in order to do it, but you know,
but he may have solved the civil war. I mean, that right. I mean, really, or at least until they figure out something else to fight over.
Yeah, which will be a day.
Yeah,
before they figure that out. So, So Haina goes with them to bring them to this fallen sanctum, the tower, the supervisor tower, and then Neil wants Haina to go with them. He's like, it's that cute little kid thing where he's just like, there's plenty of room at my house. My parents will love you. You know, like he's just like, it's like, no, she's got to stay. She has her own family and her own purposes. And like, this is the life she knows. She does give him a little kiss on the cheek and runs off and does a little parkour, which I was surprised Wim didn't go, whoa, one more time when she did a flip.
Wim is a little distracted at this point because he's really just thinking about, what are we going to see when we go in this fallen sanctum? What, you know, he's too into it. There's just so much to discover, and it's more of the adventure that he loves.
Yeah. But yeah, so that little kiss on the cheek and she runs off, and then it just lingers on Neil just staring at her as she leaves her a little bit. He's adorably smitten. Runa who?
I honestly, at first, when I thought it was their planet, I was wondering if Neil was going to go looking for Runa. Just because I thought it was at Atten and something bad had happened. And then I started to wonder if there was a time travel thing going on or what was happening.
Oh, so you and Wim were on the same page. Did we fall asleep for 100 years?
Yes, I was on the same page.
Like the Tales of the Knights?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did wonder.
Yeah. Yeah, but Neil learned and took some stuff from Haina as well. There was an exchange because, as we see at the end of the episode, he was very brave indeed. You know, after SM33's programming underlying captain's orders switch back off and he becomes murder droid, he's, you know, bearing down on the other kids, and it's rock to the head of SM33, just, you know, distraction from Neil, and it was a very brave move. And then does that, get saved. It was a close call, but that little power switch, Jod's good at that. He knows where that is,
thankfully. Yes,
but yeah. But I love that Neil showed that bravery and then immediately fainted from the adrenaline rush and fear after. But still, he's an absolute legend and hero in my book and always will be. So,
if they were still painting on caves, you know that there would be a cave painting.
Oh, yeah. Just ready for the Neil Funko Pop. Bring it to me, please. Yeah, but then, of course, it's a weird place to end the episode, kind of funny, but then also it's like, no, I need more, because there's still so much lingering mystery hanging in the air. But he's like, he fainted, and then like, just cuts to credits. I'm like, why would you do that to me? That's not very nice to end it there. How dare you?
Yeah, I was not excited about it either, because I was a little worried for Neil, just because I'm like, well, he can't be dead. He's just fainted. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if, you know, just the gravity of everything he just did, which is so outside his normal behavior, if it all just became too much for him and he just fainted, like the adrenaline and the craziness, like he doesn't want this adventure. He wants to go home to his family. It's Wim that wants to be on adventures forever.
Yeah. So what's, where do we go now?
I feel like we have to go to Fern. And I want to talk about
Captain Fern.
Captain Fern and a particular conversation she has with Wim. Because I talked about this last week that this is a lot for her. Mm-hmm. And I think it really hit her.
Yeah. And I'll let you talk about all of it that you want, but I'm going to go ahead and let you know I'm pulling a strange indeed on this, something I've done before. And I have the entire dialogue and conversation written down so I can go over that in
well,
due time.
Well, you know what? Why don't you do that and we can discuss it as we go through. But I'll just preface it by saying I think the weight of the responsibility that's been on her shoulders finally pushed her to this point where she started to doubt herself.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking, because we did. We talked about it last week, and you really were the one that brought it up and mentioned that there will likely be a point where Fern lets her walls down. And here we see not just them, her letting them down, but they crumbled. They fell because they came so close, and yet they're not getting the answers they came for. They, you know, they found what they're looking for, and it was destroyed and not there, and she just loses this hope that they had been building of going home, and it finally broke her. She's fully doubting herself, like you said, in that conversation with Wim, which again I'll go over, but yeah, I mean, she's telling me, like, you should have been captain, and like, I've screwed this whole thing up. And I really, her is powerful, but I also give a lot of credit to Wim in that conversation. Because he also shows his admiration for her as a leader. And yeah, I got a little teary during this conversation. It hit me in the heart. To see her shell cracking and her being vulnerable and emotional definitely hit me. But then also Wim's faith and friendship in that moment in her was, like, really touching.
Yeah, he was building her back up. He was trying to tell her that she is amazing, and that what she's accomplished. And I think Fern was the right choice to be the leader because she's got a maturity and she's level-headed most of the time, and she's able to process what's going on and make decisions at the age that she's at. It's so hard to think of doing that. And then also, for her to break down and for the walls to completely crumble, I think as people, we like to think we can build these walls up and make them indestructible. But at some point, they do fall down. And she felt probably, in addition to being very vulnerable, I think she felt even maybe more weak because she had the walls crumble down. And so she's at a loss as to what their next move should be, because everywhere they go, there's no complete answer.
Right. And I think what I really love about this conversation and this moment is because it's not happily wrapped up, where it's not a, and then Wim says the perfect thing and gives her the pep talk that really brightens her spirits and gives her the confidence back. No, like, he says the things he says, and then she is not warm and receptive to it.
No.
She, like, brushes him off and is, like, I think it will be something that will come back to her later, and she'll realize the importance of it and that he's right. But in that moment, she's scared and she's hurting and she doesn't want to hear it. And does it lead her into realizing what's going on with SM-33? Does it turn on a light bulb in her head? Sure. But I like that. And then again, so that's the Daniels. Right there. That's the directing from the Daniels that is in here. It's not the bright color, flashy, crazy, wacky. They're so good at emotional, realistic character conversations, dialogue building, where things aren't perfect, things aren't happy. They show the real, like, cracks and dirty parts of humanity, and like not like humanity, but like human emotion and the way that we connect with each other when we're hurting. That's what I love about Everything Everywhere All at Once, is there's so much like brutal emotion in that movie, as crazy and wacky as it is. And so that was where the Daniels like stamp on this episode definitely was, I think, was in this conversation, because it's like, it's impactful, it's emotional, it's meaningful, but they're like human, and it doesn't go the happily ever after. Fern's not receptive at that time.
Right. And I think that's realistic.
Yeah.
Because where she is in her head, she's not in a good place. She's not in a place where she's going to accept people building her up. She's in a place where she's gotten raw and she's stressed. These things need to come out. She needs to release this. Yeah. And I think Wim came at it from a good place.
Yeah.
It's just that she's just not able to hear it or take it in. She may be hearing it. She's not taking it in. It's more of he can say what he wants, but it's not making me feel better, because I know that things still seem dire. We're not getting home.
Yeah.
This is another day we're not going to be home. And I, you know, so upset, and I don't know what to do, and there's no one to tell me what to do.
Yeah, because I don't, it's not that he said the wrong thing. I think he said the absolute right thing.
Absolutely.
The best thing, and it really showed growth and maturity in him. But it just, you said, whether he said the right thing, it's not the wrong time, but it's just no time is the right time right now. And so whether she's receiving it or not in this moment, it's good that he did say it, let it sit, and hopefully it will sink in and become real to her later. But yeah, so again, I wrote it down just to kind of go over it, because I like to go back to those just to see like, oh man, like these really great dialogue moments. So I don't have to tell you who's Fern, who's Wim, because we watched the episode. but yeah, just to kind of go over it. So I have no idea what I'm doing. You should have been captain. I wouldn't have got us this far. I just led us into a battle and almost got us all killed. We made it out. Yeah, but now we're stuck. You'll figure something out. Because you're amazing, Fern. You can't just say, you're amazing, now figure something out. Like I'm supposed to solve everything. I'm not a droid. I don't just do whatever I'm told.
And you have to remember, Wynn and Fern don't really know each other very well.
Right.
They have been thrust together in this situation, and what they know about each other is what they have uncovered through these shared experiences. And even if you're the best of friends and you're having a rough time and your friend comes to you and says something at a time you're not ready to hear it, you can react the same way that she did.
Yeah.
But the difference is your friend knows you and knows that you may not understand it now, but later you'll be able to take it in and understand it, and you'll get through it, and it will be okay. Yeah. In Wim's case, I mean, this is, he doesn't really know her.
Yeah. I don't know how, because we don't really get a chance to stick around and see how he reacts to that, because then she goes straight to SM-33 and everything kind of crumbles at that point. But, you know, then they have a bigger problem to deal with. But so I hope that it doesn't deter him from, like, getting closer and, like, being afraid of those walls, because it showed a lot of growth and maturity and stuff from him to put down his, like, well, I'm just a wacky little boy on an adventure, and, like, really have a meaningful conversation with her and, like, really show her that, like, yeah, we butt heads, but, like, at the end of the day, you're captain for a reason, and I do respect you and admire you as the leader of our group.
Yeah. And I think even though she reacted this way, I think further down the road, this is going to help her. She's going to realize that he believes in her. And it may not mean as much right now, but in a day or two or, you know, a week, it may hit differently. Because she's going to remember this conversation that they had. And realize that he has her back, that he is invested in this. And I think it did more to bond them together than what either of them realize at this point. And that is me getting so deep on a show that is about kids in space and on a spaceship trying to get home.
Right. Well, if we didn't get too deep and overanalyze everything, then what are we doing?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's what we're here for.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
To take this silly Space Goonies kids in space Star Wars show and overanalyze it and over emotionalize it. That's why we're here. That's our job.
Yes,
so
it is. It's what I have to offer as a non Star Wars nerd. I feel like I've always been really focused on the character development and connections with each other. And I feel like this is fascinating to watch kids put in the situation that don't know each other, being able to work through it together and grow closer as a result.
Yeah. Well, I think the last major kind of talking point that I had that we've talked about a little bit, but SM-33 and the change we get with him this episode, which I was wondering, like, are there little hints of it right at the top of this episode, like the truth of his ship and the former captain and what all this is? Because again, even like last week in those first three episodes, I was wondering about that exact wording of "can't say I remember, no at all," because it's the exact same way every time.
Yeah, like, it was
a pre-programmed automatic response. And then when they're landing on this planet and there's this autopilot landing sequence, it was like, I was wondering, because we haven't seen that when they're going to these other planets, that moon that Kim is on. It's like, that was kind of a hint to the fact that this ship has been on this planet before in some mission capacity, where it's like, it recognizes, like, oh, I know how to land here. I know exactly where to go. So how many times has he been here before where the ship is like, oh, we're at Akron, initiating autopilot landing?
It makes me wonder if the ship has been to any of the other planets, too. Like, I feel...
Probably.
Yeah,
like, is it connected to everything that happened?
There's more. And I really want to know. So we'll hopefully find out some of that.
Was the captain, the former captain of this ship, the supervisor or a previous supervisor who was involved in setting all of these planets up? I mean, again, it's a pirate ship, so there was pirates. So were pirates connected? I could go on, like, all kinds of crazy conspiracy theories about it all. Like, what does it all mean? But I'm sure we'll figure it out by the end. But yeah, I'm very curious. But yeah, so really the big thing is at the end, again, that Fallen Sanctum, which would be the supervisor's tower on their planet. I like that they, again, just like, everything's the same but different. But yeah, these pillars with, like, tablets on them that give the galactic coordinates to all the different planets that are these nine jewels of the Old Republic, which all begin with at something. But then again, the coordinates to At-Aten, and only At-Aten, were destroyed by SM-33. Dun, dun, dun!
You have to wonder, too, is this the only planet that it went to? Was it responsible for the destruction here? Like, was the former captain responsible? And did they visit the other planets and do the same thing?
Right. Like, who knows? But it's weird that he's like, yeah, who destroyed it? I did. And it's like, why did you do it? Why did I do what? Destroy the coordinates. What coordinates? Like, immediately the, like, pre-programming thing comes back in. And the kids are still, like, thinking, it's like, oh, we got to fix this memory issue of him. But there's not something wrong with him. Because as Fern realizes, it's it's deliberate programming. It's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah.
And I love that, like, when Fern, because it's that last thing she says to Wim in that conversation we talked about earlier. She says, I'm not a droid. I don't just do whatever I'm told. And as she says that, she remembers her nanny droid back at home. And she's like, SM-33 is doing what he was told. That's why the response is the same every time, because anytime someone brings up At-Aten, can't say I remember no At-Aten. Not that you don't remember it. You literally can't say that you remember it by order.
Right. The way that he says it, now that we know, it all makes perfect sense now.
Yes. And so she overrides his memory order, as she does with her, like, nanny droid. Which, great idea. You know, I'm your captain now, so remember everything. Not realizing that then his other pre-programmed orders from his captain then kick in, that anyone that was on the old crew that saw the AT-AT coordinates were killed, and anyone who's looking into it now must suffer the same fate. So it's murder droid time.
Yeah.
And then even, like, so again, those former orders are back in, like, top of the queue, right? So doesn't matter what she tells them to do at this point. That's where it's at. That's number one.
I'm wondering how they're going to override that or get around it.
Because it's not really much of a spoiler, I don't think, but I just watched The Wild Robot getting ready for Oscar stuff. And so, like, I'm thinking, and like, there's like, I've got a task to complete. And I got to complete it.
Yeah. Only 33's task that he needs to complete involves killing characters we've grown to love. So, not a good idea.
Pull them apart.
Oh, God.
Pull them apart. Limb from
limb. Yep.
It's great. So cool. I love it.
And Neil came.
I love Nick Frost.
You know, Neil saved the day. He saved the day.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully. It also makes me think, though, when the ship was stranded or whatever happened on AT-ATn, was it on its way to do it again? Like, to destroy that planet too? Like, I don't know.
Right.
And that could just be
a something went wrong.
It could be a ridiculous theory.
Never know. Star Wars ridiculous theories end up being exactly what a lot of Star Wars lore is built on. So.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any other notes?
Quickly to see. I mean, we mentioned it briefly, but Jod shows a little bit of loyalty in stopping that war and coming at the right time. I feel like it impressed the kids a little bit, like he was going to save them inadvertently.
Right. Like, yeah, that he's definitely warming, like they're warming up to him and he's proving this loyalty. Which, again, scares me, like, how much of it is real? Or are we going to get to a point where Jod is just manipulating them, getting along? Like, yeah, he's going to put out olive branch here, be the fun spaceship uncle here. And then when it comes to getting back to AT-ATn and the treasures on the line, is he going to double cross them and put something else first? Is he still willing to, you know, like, where does the pirate in him begin still, you know?
Like, and he was still talking. He was still wanting to know about the treasure. Like, he was pushing 33 to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which again, yeah, so he saves the kids. Again, you notice, who are the two that come up and hug him and are, like, all on him, clinging? Neil and Wim, the boys, are like, John! And they're still, like, KB and Vern are like,
no.
You won some points today, yes. Mr. Nunawood, but we will see. Like,
yeah, I think he bought some brownie points with the girls, but I don't know if I trust him. I still don't know.
Yeah, I want to. He's a very likable guy.
Yeah.
But the charm is part of some of the greatest villains are being able to charm anyone, you know? So I don't. You have to hold suspicion for him a little bit. Like, I want him to be great. I want him to have the great hero journey throughout this show. But also, like, if he ends up double crossing them at the end, I'll be a little surprised and sad about it. But, like, also there will be a part of me that's like,
yeah, I expect it.
Pirate's gonna pirate, you know? Yeah. Like, that's what he's gonna do.
Yeah. He chose the pirate life.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And then I mentioned, yeah, there's, again, buying the Eopies from the Hattons and returning them there using Wim's money. And again, just like I said, the actor that plays Wim, that, like, body language is just seeing him. And he was like, because as he's explaining what he did, you see Wim stop for a second. He's like, what? And he's like, did you use my daterys for that? And he's like, yeah. And then, like, he does the whole, like, you know, kids, like, when they don't get the way, like, that body flop.
Yeah.
He's like, like, why would you do that? Like, it's like, just the body language. He realizes what happened. He's like, He's like, yeah.
But he solved a conflict between two armed forces, basically. Maybe it bought peace for a day or two. Who knows?
Right. Mm-hmm. And then just like other, my other notes are just like little things with the kids. Again, with Wim swinging a stick around, pretending it's a lightsaber. I was like, yeah, it's a kid after my own heart, because that was definitely my childhood too.
Did you really?
Absolutely. It was, yeah. Star Wars. And then, of course, KB was an absolute hotshot with the gun, just like perfect aim, takes a lot. So, yeah, I mean, trajectory is math, and she probably just could calculate quickly.
Yes, absolutely. Again,
like, there's something with her that KB's just awesome. But there, I'm so curious about KB. Because, like, whenever Haina and the other soldier kid show up, and, like, she's watching, like, the blaster and the explosions, and, like, there's war stuff going on, like, she almost just, like, zones out a little bit. Like, she's just admiring things, and she just stands there and has to get pulled away, or like she's always like analyzing things, mm-hmm. and really trying to understand every little thing that she sees and hears, and it's she's such an interesting character, and like the visor and like the electronic aspects of her, like what's I want to know more.
Me
about
too.
KB. So like she's very intriguing.
I'm hoping that we get kind of, it doesn't have to be a backstory, but a digging deeper episode on KB, where mm-hmm. we learn more about the visor and what it does for her and everything.
Yeah. I think we might get that. Like, we got a lot of Neil and who he was this episode. I feel like we'll get a KB episode, at least a moment of one.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I feel like we learned a lot about Wim and Fern in the beginning and, like, in mm-hmm. the first couple episodes anyway. So, I think, and I'm hoping for an episode on KB to learn more about what makes her tick, how she's able to do things. And she's so analytical. Mm-hmm. And
I think back to, was it episode 3, I believe, where, you know, the kids are all going to sleep and then Jod's walking around the ship and then KB's like awake, leaning on her, you know, elbow, like just watching. And he's like, do you not sleep? And just the way she's like, I don't really think you're a Jedi. You know, she's like, I calculated all this stuff. Like, she's just, again, that analytical is like, she's not sleeping. She's sitting up awake, calculating likelihoods of Jedis being in the galaxy. This part of it. Like, she's incredible, but like.
Yeah, she's got a math brain. She's able to figure it all mm-hmm. out. That's for sure. I like that they gave us the names of the other planets at A2, at Erisia, at Aravid, and at Akota. So mm-hmm. we got, you know, what the names of the planets are, in case we pop over for tea and biscuits.
Yeah.
I'm really curious as to how they might be able to fix 33, because I feel like that's not going to be an easy thing, or it could be something that's simple, but right. I feel like they're going to have to
let KB, now that he's like under, like, let KB just have a hand at the wiring for a minute. She'll
fix
something
it
out.
This whole time they thought that Snowball had done some damage into the wiring, but now that we've learned no, and he was just keeping that piece to himself, what else is he keeping to himself?
Right.
What else has he been told not to say? Because I feel like there could have been more, but he hit rage virus at, you know, 100 miles an hour.
Right.
So, I guess we'll have to wait until episode 5 to learn more about it.
Mm-hmm. Can I have it now, Disney Plus, please?
For Christmas. They're going to give it to you on Christmas Eve.
I know. While I'm working all night.
And I won't be, so I can watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't share any of it or spoil it for you, other than to say that I've watched it.
Well, I'm sure I will take some time out of my night to watch
it. I know you will. You're not going to be able to stay away from it.
No, not at all. Even if it's at like 3 in the morning and I have to be at my dad's house for Christmas at 8, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to make it happen.
You need to watch it and do your prep. At 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen.
Prep comes on second watch.
Absolutely.
Christmas evening after yes. I'm done with everything and go home.
Did you have any other notes that you wanted to bring up? Any points? Or
I did not. That is it.
Okay. Well, I think that it might be time for some feedback after we take a short break.
Wow, that ad was really cool. I'm definitely going to buy insert product here.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Add that to your Christmas list, whatever it was.
So we're back with some listener feedback. The first one is about episode 3. It's from Catherine. She says, Neil is still my favorite. I love that he made sure the rat in the droid's eye was rescued and shared his food with it too. He's so good at sharing his food.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think I like Kim, but I'm confused about why she was so helpful, but was still stalling. There must be something pretty bad about Nowood.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Jury's out for now.
Old Crimson Jack. What are the secrets of Crimson Jack?
He has so many names. Is that to hide all the secrets?
Of course. Sure. And then Catherine also has some feedback for this week for episode 4. She says, I owe an apology to Snowball, the space rat. I blamed it for SM-33's memory loss. I still want my own SM-33, especially for its babysitting services, but only if it comes with an easily accessible on and off switch. Neil is still the best, and no harm better come to him or his precious little trunk. I loved all the details we found out about At-Atten through his conversations with Haina, and I was not expecting that little kiss with a flip at the end. Neil deserves it all.
Aww.
Yes, Catherine, Neil Nation. She's officially a member, and we are building up strong. It's going to be a totally wizard group.
Still trying to make wizard happen, aren't you?
Gonna succeed in making wizard happen.
Didn't have a ton of people supporting you this week in the feedback.
Silent solidarity. all right. Well, that is our show this week. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Next episode is Skeleton Crew, Season 1, Episode 5. We don't, as of yet, have an episode title, so it's mm-hmm. Episode 5.
Yep. They'll release the title when they release the episode. That's kind of how it's been going. So you'll know by the time you're listening next week. Yeah, so speaking of that, for next week, if you want to write in, leave us a message, feedback, anything like that for episode 5, definitely find the Facebook group, Facebook page, all of that good stuff, or you can email us at skeletoncrew@podcastica.com. If you need any other links, anything at all, of course, you can find it all right at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out some of our other shows. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to talk about Welcome to the Apocalypse.
Yeah, that's good stuff there. Yeah, Randy, Jenny, and Rob, their comedy improv podcast where they are a group of wacky characters surviving in the apocalypse. And it's all just like improv. There's some guest people come in from time to time, and it's hilarious, and it's great, and incredible, and you should definitely check it out.
Absolutely. It's a ton of fun. I always find myself wishing they would release an episode every week because it's just so much fun to listen to. And then I have to wait for the next one to come out, and I get so impatient.
Yeah. Yeah, also a lot of great other stuff on Podcastica. Squid Game Season 2 is coming up very quickly, so definitely keep an eye on for that. Coverage for that will start soon once the season drops. So
it will.
Ears peeled? I don't know about that, but
yeah.
It's coming.
And if you need a recap of what happened in Season 1, we will be dropping that episode later this week, so you can check it out at podcastica.com.
Yeah. If you want more of me and Daphne, of course, you can check out Run for Your Lives, our other podcast over here on Podcastica. We cover monster movies, creature features, disaster flicks, horror films, stuff like that, and we've got The Substance this week. Got a lot of Oscar buzz, Demi Moore, great stuff. So very interesting movie. I think very interesting conversation. So that will be out Friday. So
yeah,
stay tuned for that as well.
We're getting closer and closer to episode 200. Can't believe it. But we're wrapping up season 8 in just a few weeks.
All right. Well, that is our show once again.
Thank you for listening.
And keep being wizard.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.